A little bit about the gift of tongues. As I said in the email, it's no doubt the most controversial of the gifts in general, and therefore there's a lot of disagreement about it, has been through the ages, I'm sure will not be resolved before Jesus comes. So we can kind of have, in one sense, a peace about that, that people are not going to agree about this gift, as there are many other things in the Scripture we could say that about as well. But this gift in particular seems to really draw some lines within the body of Christ as to those who allow for it, those who don't allow for it, and those who command it to be done. There's at least those three categories as I see it. Let me just read first few verses, about 1 through 5 of 1 Corinthians 14 as you follow along. Paul says, "Follow after charity," or that is love, "and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." Now, throughout this chapter, Paul continually drives home a form of the word edify. And so, while that is true for all the gifts, and we've said that at the outset as we began this study of the spiritual gifts, that the gifts are primarily given, all of them, for the edification of the church, to build up one another. Now, certainly some of the gifts, especially like evangelism and so forth, are also given, as their name implies, to evangelize the lost. But we know that primarily the gifts are for the body. So Paul majors on this word, edifies. In fact, we've already seen it here two times in just the five verses, or three times rather, in the five verses that I read. And I would encourage you on your own time to go through the chapter and just mark every time edify, and your translation may say builds up or something like that, but it'll be the same sense of it. So what we got to realize, first of all, is Paul's concern in addressing this gift is that everything be done in a way that it builds up and doesn't tear down. And unfortunately, what we see many times when there's disagreement within a body, especially a particular congregation, over this gift of tongues, there's not edification going on. Rather, there's destruction that happens, unfortunately, many times, where there's splits and there's divisions and so forth. So Paul says, the sign gifts in general, which we have already listed as miracles, healings, and tongues, a subdivision under the speaking and serving gifts. Remember, that's our main umbrella we're under, 1 Peter 4:11 and 12, the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. Obviously, tongues is another of the speaking gifts, primarily. But those sign gifts always have within them, just naturally built into the discussion of it, a real opportunity for folks to draw sides and to disagree sharply. And so that's something that almost always must be guarded against. Another thing to keep in mind is that Paul here is addressing, as he is in many things in the 1 Corinthian letter, the wrong use of a gift and trying to give biblical correction. Okay? So, immediately we understand, knowing that the brethren we have in other denominations and whatnot, truly born-again people I'm speaking of now, who see things very differently in this chapter than maybe we do, may be seeing it that way because they are not coming from a premise, which is clear here, that Paul is saying, now what you're doing most of the time when you do this is not right. It's not biblical. So here's the biblical way, if the gift is present, for it to be exercised. Always got to keep that in mind, not only about tongues, but all the other gifts as well. The key there is, look over in verse 12. This is the heartbeat of the Corinthian church, and this is what Paul knows he's having to deal with. "Even so, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts," that's the authorized version, "seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." Now, another way that can be rendered is, seeing you are zealous of things of the spirits. So what we have here is a church that is enamored with the sign gifts. Now, they want all the gifts going on, of course, and Paul says in the first chapter, which is something we also all got to keep in mind. You come behind in no gift as you eagerly await the coming of the Lord. So he's acknowledging if there's any church where all the gifts are on display, it's the church at Corinth. But also, by the same token, the church at Corinth is a place where some of the gifts are most abused and used incorrectly. So keep that in mind as we look at these things. Now, the idea of edification is so important that in verse 3, as Paul talks about prophecy being much more important than the gift of tongues, he says, here's what happens when someone proclaims God's word. They speak unto men to edify them, to exhort them, and to comfort them. Edification is to remove a senseless or foolish way about the things of God. It's to build you up in the most holy faith. Exhortation is to remove sluggishness on the part of the saints. And comfort, of course, is to remove sadness wherever it may rise up. So again, Paul is saying, here's what's most important as you get together. Not tongues, but the proclamation of God's truth. We've always got to hold on to that as well. Now, I mentioned this last week, or 2 weeks ago, and I want to come back to it again because I was gone last week. I would have said it again then, so I'm saying it today. In the Authorized Version, and that's why I urged you 2 weeks ago, if you don't bring a King James to church, you probably have one at home. And when you're at home, look through it and read through it in the Authorized Version, because the translators of the Authorized Version were very careful in this chapter to distinguish between the fantastic manifestation of tongues, and I'm not saying at this point whether it's always right or wrong, but just a more experiential flash in the pan use of tongues and the normal biblical use of the gift by putting the word in italics, unknown, in front of those places where the context of what Paul's saying is showing. Now this is when you get in trouble, because you get over in that more emotional experiential side on this, and that's where error is likely to come in. So again, when it simply says tongue or tongues in the Authorized Version, Paul is speaking more there of the valid gift and its use. When the italicized word unknown shows up, the translators are trying to help us see that that's when Paul is more in a corrective mode. Because again, that's the emotional exuberance of this gift, which of course has been much abused in this church. Okay. So I know that's a lot of stuff in a short time, but again, just keep in mind the basics here. Paul's instruction is primarily corrective to this church, and that carries over in even to in verse 26, which we won't get to today, but I just note that for you. You can look at that later on. Verse 26 has been taken by many, and still is today, to mean that when we come together as a church, everybody's supposed to do those things in verse 26. Not at all. In fact, Paul is saying, what is going on here? When you come together, everybody does this and this and this. It's a corrective. So he's saying, you got to let all things, the end of verse 26, again, be done unto edifying. So what is he saying? When you come together and everybody's got a psalm or a tongue or interpretation or prophecy, nobody gets edified. Too much going on. It's chaotic. And people who don't even have the gift, our gifts in some cases, are trying to participate as if they did. So again, verse 26 is not Paul saying these things ought to happen when you come to church, but why are these things happening when you come to church? That's the difference, okay? Now, so, 3 or 4 more minutes here and I'll stop for us. I asked some questions 2 weeks ago. Let me come back to those quickly and do as many as I can before I stop for today. First of all, the question, are they for today, the gift of tongues? Now I'm talking about the valid gift, not necessarily the abuse. The valid gift. It's listed, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. To some is given different kinds of tongues, to others the interpretation of tongues at the end of the verse. Now I think we've already pretty much answered that as far as what my perspective is. And again, if you have a different perspective, we're not in contest or conflict with one another. The cessationist position would say, yes, not only tongues, but all these other gifts have passed away. The partial cessationist would say, well, some of the gifts are still valid, but in most cases that person would say, but those miraculous sign gifts have passed away. Or the non-cessationist would say, none of the gifts have passed away, which I would tend to be in that camp, although I would quickly hasten to say some of those gifts, especially the sign gifts, I see not being exercised in the same way for the same purpose in this day and age as they were back then. And I'll get more into that as we develop this, okay? Just leave that for a statement. So, my answer simply to the question to give a yes or no is, are they for today? I would have to say yes. Secondly, are they unintelligible sounds? Well, it depends on what you're talking about. Again, the Authorized Version helps us here. Verse 2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but to God. No man understands him. However, he in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, just focus on for right now the part that Paul says he's not speaking to men when he speaks in this unknown tongue. This glossolalia is the Greek word. It means just, it can almost mean a babbling, but in a good way. Okay? And so he's saying the person that does that is not even speaking to people. And yet what we see so many times in the, quote, exercise of the gift of tongues in other churches is exactly that. That it's supposed to be for the people. Okay? Verse 9. So likewise, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, in contrast to what's going on there, how shall it be known what is spoken? You'll just be speaking into the air. Okay, so are they unintelligible sounds? Many times in what seems to be the manifestation of the gift, yes. But now hold off total judgment, because there's some other things that we'll have to grapple with as we deal with this in more depth in succeeding times together. Is it a, quote, spirit language? That's a term that's been coined particularly in the charismatic Pentecostal ranks. A spirit language. They would acknowledge that I'm speaking in the Spirit to the Spirit, you know. So what about that? Well, Paul says, verse 15 of chapter 14, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when you shall bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you are saying? So again, Paul says, there may be something approaching a spirit language here, but after all, if it's exercised in the middle of the church, nobody's going to say amen to that. They don't even know what you're talking about. They don't know what you're saying. Now, I know you're thinking, but they're supposed to be an interpreter. Again, those are things we'll get to in other times. Okay, one more thing for today. Are they for the edification of the church? Again, it depends on how it's manifested. Verse 4 again, I read it already. He that speaks in an unknown tongue does what? Only edifies himself. Now, let me pause right there. Herein is the problem. If there's any gift, not just tongues, that is exercised in the midst of the body, but it's exercised in such a way that only the person who has the gift is seen to profit from it, then it's not being exercised right. I think we can all agree on that. Because Paul says the gifts are given to build up the church. Well, if it's only building me up, one preacher friend of mine, and you'd have to know him to appreciate this, don't think negatively about him, you would have to hear him preach, because he's solid as a rock. But he said one time when he was preaching, and people weren't really amening like he wanted them to amen, he said, listen folks, I don't know about y'all, but if you think I'm not going to enjoy my preaching, you're mistaken. And his point was, I'm still getting edified. Well, obviously, he was doing that tongue-in-cheek to kind of get a response from the congregation. But don't miss the point. If a gift is exercised and only builds the person up, then that's not a valid use of the gift. It's just not. Okay, so, are they for the edification of the church? Verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign not to them that believe. This right here devastates a whole lot of what goes on in practice today. But to them that believe not. But again, remember, the word here is not unknown. It's tongues. That's important. So he's saying the valid use of the gift of tongues is a sign, not for them that believe, but for them that believe not. But prophesying, preaching, proclamation of the truth, serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So again, we'd have to say two things. The unknown tongue, certainly, the way it's practiced in most cases, is not for the edification of the church. And the tongue validly used is not intended for the believers in the church, but for unbelievers. Now that connects with Acts 2. And I'll just throw that out. You read Acts 2. Remember the people there said, what's going on here? We hear these men who don't know our languages normally, and all the languages that are represented here today, speaking the wonderful works of God. Known languages. Get that point. Okay? So, again, prophecy is not a sign gift, as according to verse 22, but tongues are. That's very clear there. Tongues are for a sign. But prophesying serves for those who believe. It doesn't call it a sign gift, and it's not. It does call tongues a sign gift, and it is. All right, I'm going to have to stop there, but if anyone has a question quickly or a comment, I'll give you time for that.